Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Everybody on the bandwagon right now of Marco Rubio. At this rate, Marco Rubio will cure childhood cancer in the next 6 weeks. So, are we fast-tracking for a J.D. Vance Marco Rubio throwdown in 2028? We've talked a lot about the future of the Democrat Party, how they're in disarray. They don't have a face, a voice, a messenger, a leader. But it looks like the Republican Party has a handful of individuals. But it could come down to Vance and Rubio, who's got more jobs right now and has more hats than Greg Stocker with Odyssey in Philadelphia. We'll talk about that story coming up in just a little bit. But let's get to the news. Round number two at 7:05, the great Dawn Stensland.
Yes, and we're watching this morning as President Donald J. Trump had put out on his Truth Social post that this should be a very big and exciting day for the United States of America and the United Kingdom. Press conference at the Oval Office, 10 o'clock this morning. Thank you, exclamation. So this is a big deal because it's the first of a sweeping global tariff situation that President Trump has talked about impacting markets. We should get some jobless claim numbers as well today, I believe, after the Fed held steady on the rate, which was fully expected. And so that trade deal is expected to be officially announced and then signed today. We're waiting for that one. I will also say another thing that is, I believe, a big story that President Trump has just announced. He plans to nominate Dr. Casey Means to be the next Surgeon General.
She's great.
Yeah.
So I have this book.
Maha.
I love her book, which talks about, if you haven't gotten, my friend Mary gave me her copy, then I bought it. I should bring an extra copy in for you guys, but it's called Good Energy, and she's a Stanford physician, but she writes all about, you know, the root causes, so-called, your gut health.
Chronic disease.
Phil, do you have Cut 24? I just want to play. She was on with Bill Maher a couple weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago, and I think this basically sums up her thinking on a lot of stuff.
So more than a health epidemic, which is what we have in this country, I mean, health is getting destroyed in the United States, which you don't really talk about because it's not profitable to heal in this country. It's profitable to keep people sick and then drug them, cut them, and bill them, which is what we learn how to do. And really what we have here is a disconnection crisis. And the healthcare crisis is one branch of that tree. We're disconnecting the body into 100 separate parts and not seeing as a unified system. And we're disconnecting the body from the environmental conversation, which actually we're really one and the same. You know, we are totally connected to nature. And in destroying nature through the pesticides and the way we're treating animals, our health is a reflection of what we're doing to the earth.
There you go.
That's well said. I like that. Drug them, cut them, and then bill them.
Yep.
That's the cycle. There you go.
She is very popular. And so this announcement by Trump comes after his initial pick, Dr. Jeanette Nesherwat, faced some different scrutiny on different levels. So Jeanette Nesherwat, who was, if you remember, she was a medical individual that Fox News would bring in as a medical expert.
Mm-hmm.
So she'll still be part of the team under RFK Jr., but making a little bit of a pivot here. Dr. Casey Means, hugely popular.
Yeah, she's great. She's so great, and she has all the, you know, she has all the makings of somebody who's going to not just keep the status quo going, because we can't keep the status quo going because we're sick, fat, and unhealthy.
That's right. Speaking of the, you know, whether it's the NIH, the CDC, Surgeon General, Health, did you, I don't know if you guys caught this yesterday, I was taking my girls to dance around, this was a little after 4 o'clock, it was the first segment of the second hour for Zioli, and he had on a guest, I don't remember the name of the guest, but they were talking about shutting down one of Fauci's labs within the NIH where they were doing all of this experimental testing on beagles. Did you hear about that?
Yes.
Yeah.
About all these dogs, every year they get killed?
Yeah.
Just
well,
awful.
Beagles are the number one dog. This is so sad because they're the number one dog used in laboratory testing.
Yep.
Because they're smaller and their disposition is so kind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they're easier to torture.
Yep.
Basically.
Oh, God.
I know.
People who do that, death penalty for that.
I was so glad my daughters had their AirPods in as they were watching their iPad going to dance, because I'm listening to this conversation and I'm like, all right, please don't take your AirPods out. I don't want you to hear that the government is killing beagles.
Yes.
Yeah, it was great. Speaking of the conversation, anyway.
Speaking of animal torture, since you brought that
in. Oh, God. Dawn.
An Upper Darby woman was convicted of torturing animals, then posting the videos on social media.
Death penalty.
This is a follow-up.
Meth pipe?
This woman, Anigar Monse, was found guilty for felony counts of aggravated cruelty to animals. Police arrested her last year, say she admitted to the abuse, as it was on video.
She was found guilty?
Yes.
All right. Death penalty.
Felony. Four felony counts.
Yep. Whatever she did to those animals, they should do to her.
You know, your firing squad case log is really adding up here. We're gonna have years worth of cases to get to. I'm losing track. Who else are we gonna put a bullet in their head?
Eye for an eye. No. That's way too easy. This human, whatever they did to these poor defenseless animals, should be done to her.
Oh, it's like reciprocal tariffs.
Yeah, exactly. And then we're going to film it and put it on social media.
Sickening.
And let everybody laugh.
Clip it.
Yeah.
So there were multiple animals that she would show in the video. She was soliciting more likes and more views.
Oh, God.
Well, that's what it's about, Dawn. Everything
media.
We do. We're just trying to get the likes.
Where is she from?
Delco.
No.
This is a local story.
This is a local story. Upper Darby, Delco. Yeah.
Okay. Let's take the Delco
Always
pooper
Delco.
Along with this lady. This is a lady, right?
Yes.
Okay. Let's put them together in the same cell.
What's the name again?
The name is Anigar Monse.
French?
Right.
Monse.
That's right. That doesn't sound like a Delco name. You know what I mean?
I have no idea. But she'd hold up an animal, whether it's, you know, there were all kinds of different animals. And then it would, when she got enough likes that she was satisfied with, in the course of about 10 minutes, she would kill that animal.
Oh, okay.
Torture and kill the animal over a 10-minute period.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, this is vile.
If you get to 100 likes, I will kill the animal. This is like Zioli when he was pandering for the money down the stretch for Travis Manion Radiothon. He wasn't going to stop doing Bernie until we reached 100 grand.
Yeah.
There we go.
My goodness.
Just awful.
So we have so much going on this morning. I will say to you, yes, the EF1 tornado, that's the word from Northampton County. So those National Weather Service officials were in Pennsylvania yesterday. They determined that indeed it was an EF1 tornado that touched down in Bangor, Northampton County.
So it's really funny. My wife texted me when this happened, like that day, and said, because my mom was coming up, and she was like, hey, there's a possibility of hail and really bad weather here. Can you, like, maybe she should come up later or earlier.
Yeah.
And when I saw the text and I responded, she goes, it looks like it's been, you know, like it's not going to hit us. It ended up hitting where you know my family's from anyway. So it must have passed right over us and went to the Lehigh Valley area.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
I can't ever recall a tornado anywhere near that area in the Lehigh Valley.
Well, I mean, tornadoes are happening now all the time around this area. The Montgomery County area, Bucks County. There's a ton. Delco.
Right.
There's a ton of tornadoes that are happening here.
Yeah, my daughters lose their mind every time they hear tornado watch.
Yeah, I mean, like,
they're traumatized from Tennessee.
This is the new weather pattern here, is that, you know, we're susceptible to tornadoes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's appropriate. We are sponsored in news this morning by Garden State Earthquakes, as they say that they did capture some video that went viral that captured this particular tornado near Route 191 just south of Bangor. 90-mile-an-hour winds.
That area where they're talking about it, like Washington Township, there's nothing. There's nothing out there.
It's country.
We're talking farmland. We're talking country. So that's a ripe area for a tornado to do, you know, some damage. Luckily, there's not a ton of houses out there. So, you know, I don't know of any. I didn't hear of any, you know, fatalities or anything.
Mm-hmm.
We also have early this morning, we have reports from Philadelphia police of a police pursuit. This is through the city of Philadelphia, and police report they've taken three underage juveniles into custody. This started early this morning in the 3 a.m. ish hour, 2600 block of Frankfurt Avenue. These, and I believe, I presume that they're teenagers, but they're under the age of 17. And police say these youths, as we say, the juveniles, they were armed. They carjacked the driver of a gray Volvo SUV early this morning. Multiple police districts called in pursuing the vehicle throughout the city. The SUV ended up crashing on the 6,000 block of Hutchinson Street. This is in the Logan section of Philadelphia. And these armed teenagers get out, start running, but police were able to catch and arrest all three. None of the officers were injured in that incident. But our lead story, of course, that we've been talking about all this morning is that we do have a 26-year-old officer who is recovering after surgery, after being shot on the job yesterday. That 26-year-old officer in critical but stable condition after surgery. This after the officer assigned to the 19th District was shot when he was called in, among the officers called in after fights and a brawl broke out near Overbrook High School yesterday. So this is North 59th Street, Columbia Ave. And in that one, police say, and there's video that's gone viral, we played it earlier, but in that one, a 30-year-old gunman, for whatever reason, was on the scene. And so the gunman gets involved. You hear that loud popping sound as the man fires one shot into the ground, ricochets upwards, striking the officer in his stomach, just under his ballistic vest.
It's unbelievable. It's just well, actually, I take that back. It's totally believable. This is Philadelphia, unfortunately. You know, every December, Families Behind the Badge, Children's Foundation, we get together with a lot of these courageous women, these widows that lose their husband in the line of duty, all because people just can't act like civilized human beings. You know, maybe we should spare beagles. And we should use all these vile creeps out there as our guinea pigs
love
for drugs.
I love it. Great idea, Nick Kale. You're hired.
Thank you.
You're going to be on my council for how we get rid of scumbags.
All right.
By the way, speaking of
breaking news, do you see this?
What?
Is this live with more black smoke on day 2?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Yes. Yeah. It's day 2. Yep. Yeah.
So
still no.
Still none.
Conclave to elect, yeah, a new pope, and so they're working on it. We had black smoke yesterday.
Yeah.
So we're on smoke watch.
Even Kevin McCarthy thinks this is getting a little redundant now.
By the way, the guest you were talking about yesterday at Zioli was Justin Goodman.
Yes.
He's the senior vice president of advocacy and public policy for the White Coat,
yep,
or White Coat Waste Project.
Yeah, I'm going to send him my thoughts on who we should use to replace the Beagles.
Great idea.
See if he agrees.
Yeah.
So we have the Truist Championship locally. Yeah. This is the Wissahickon course at the Cricket Club in Montgomery County, Flowertown area. And so defending Truist champ, Rory McIlroy, he won the Masters in April. He played the back nine Tuesday and the front nine yesterday in the Pro-Am event with Jason Kelce was there as well. So I just will point out to you in this area, because of the forecast, may actually be a good thing. Because this course is especially tough if we have arid conditions, really dry conditions.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that we have soaking rain in the forecast, softening up the ground.
Look at this. Dawn's breaking it down. The right. Fairways will be a little softer. Yes, the pros will be throwing darts in there.
So,
love it.
You know, it could be, the greens could be nice.
That's right. By the way, I guess my invite for the Pro-Am must have got lost in the mail here.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah, and Jason Kelce's golfing at Cricket, but I can't get out there. Interesting.
So it looks like, I will just say, because of the forecast that Nick's going to talk about in a moment, I know they've moved some of the tee times. They've moved the first and tenth tees. So they're looking at the forecast minute by minute to try to figure this out. So then over the weekend, it's going to be it's going to be very breezy, and that may be the only barrier to the birdies over the weekend.
The barrier to the birdies.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, so, Dawn. I love when you talk golf, Dawn.
We are sponsored by Garden State Earthworks. Speaking of rain, and, you know, if you have water on your property and maybe it's giving you a big headache, soggy yards, damp patio, floating, wrinkling pool liners, maybe you have water invading your home, just call our friends at Garden State Earthworks, your drainage solution at 856-848-4444, Garden State Earthworks. Hill and Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, Philly weather, 59 degrees. It is going up to 78 today with mostly sunny skies. Of course, a low of 58 tonight with a 60% chance of showers and some heavy rain at times. It's all brought to you by MT Rule Weather, sponsored by MTRule.com. They are your Generac generator experts. Yeah. That's MTRUHL.com.
I bet all the people in the Bangor, Washington Township area wish they had a Generac generator for losing power out
That's
there.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Nice to have one of those handy
when
power goes out.
My neighbor has one of those.
Yeah.
And it's just like they just want to like take a victory lap around the neighborhood.
Yeah. You're the person who has, you're like, yep, don't worry. I don't care if the power goes out.
Yeah.
It's honestly a smart investment, right?
Yeah. It is.
I mean, they're not overly expensive. And in a day and age where we all can't go 9 minutes without, you know, internet connection, Wi-Fi, streaming, social media, everything on our phone or our laptop and our devices. You know, we live in these device-driven world, right?
Do you guys lose power a lot?
We do. We definitely do. And that's why our neighbors, because they have a sump pump, they've flooded multiple times.
Yeah.
So, in other words, if you have like the Generac or, you know what I mean? Then your sump pump doesn't go out, then you don't flood. And as well, you can gloat to all of your neighbors because, you know, you've got the power.
There you go.
I got the power.
855-839-1210. Cut sheet in about 25 minutes. A Kilmar Abrego Garcia update on the other side. And then also, I wanted to at least mention this. We're going to stay in the state of Tennessee. Remember the Tyre Nichols story in Memphis with the hardcore police department where they are just dealing with all sorts of bad people on a daily basis? Well, that verdict came in yesterday, and I think we're going to get a little experiment here with the media and the left. I'll explain on the other side. It's Kale and Company back after this.
It's Kale and Company on demand. From Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Two stories that are obviously from the state of Tennessee, and we've been talking a lot about Kilmar Abrego Garcia, whether it was being pulled over by Tennessee state troopers in 2022 or being dubbed as the Maryland man, the Maryland father, you know, Chris Van Hollen's bestie as he goes to El Salvador to check in on his brother. So the CEO and lead reporter for the Tennessee Star last night with a breaking report, and the headline is convicted human smuggler who owned the vehicle driven by Kilmar Abrego Garcia in the 2022 Tennessee traffic stop says that he in fact hired Garcia for several human smuggling runs. Remember, we played you the video in the cut sheet of the Tennessee State Police pulling over Kilmar Abrego Garcia in what looked to be either a big truck or an SUV or a van, and there was multiple people in there, and he was saying that his boss lives in Maryland, and he was going from Texas to Tennessee, and then Tennessee to, I think it was St. Louis, Missouri, and then he was going to go to Maryland. Well, the convicted smuggler who is in prison or served a prison sentence has in fact confirmed that Garcia is a human smuggler and has charged up to $350 per trip per smuggling of individual from point A to point B. So this is again, and have you noticed this as well, Dawn? This story has completely disappeared from the mainstream media.
I wonder why.
I honest to God, I looked last night. I went to, and I do my typical search of mainstream websites. I do MSNBC, CNN. I do New York Times. I do WAPO, Philadelphia Inquirer, Philly.com. And then maybe two or three other there, like a Politico and things like that. I have them all saved as tabs. And because a lot of the content that we talk about actually does come from some of the mainstream media. You can't find the story. It just doesn't exist anymore. They've moved on to the next thing because every day that goes by, he is more and more indefensible. And now we have confirmation from the Tennessee Star. The guy that broke the story is Michael Patrick Leahy. You can follow him on X. And again, breaking report, convicted human smuggler who owned a vehicle driven by Garcia in 2022 traffic stop says he hired Garcia for several human smuggling runs. Speaking of media, I sent this to you guys yesterday in our group text. And when I saw this come out and the verdict come in on social media, it immediately jump-started my brain, because I remember at some point in 2023, we talked about this story a lot. It was a big story. We played you the footage on the cut sheet. In Memphis, Tyree Nichols, if you recall the story, was beaten by Memphis police. And Memphis police have a long history of excessive police brutality. And if you recall, Tyree Nichols was the suspect, African-American man. And this special group of police officers with the Memphis PD, if I recall correctly, they were like a task force, like Spider something. They are basically the group of officers that deal with the most violent, vicious criminals, gang members, drug dealers in Memphis, Tennessee. And all three of the officers that had to go to court and were put on trial are also black police officers. Now, I did not look, but I'm just going to take a guess here. I had the story in front of me from The Guardian. By the way, they were all acquitted of state charges in the fatal beating of Tyree Nichols. And I remember when we were watching it, because we played you the footage of the assault of the officers just beating the crap out of this kid. I don't even know if he was a kid or an adult. Either way, I said, I'm like, wow, that seems very, very excessive. And I have not heard in the last 20-some hours or however long it's been since these officers were acquitted, I have not heard of any rioting. I have not heard of any looting. I have not heard of any vandalism, any businesses being destroyed, any fires in Memphis, Tennessee. Why? Because I don't believe it fits the narrative of what the left, what the far left, the race baiters, the media look for in a story that involves an African-American suspect having their rights violated by police. If these officers were white, Ben Crump, Al Sharpton, Jamel Hill, whether you are an advocate, a media member, a defense attorney, the Johnny Cochrans of the world that made their living on that subject, I haven't seen, I have not seen the story in mainstream media. Mm-hmm. And I actually think that these officers should have been found guilty. Now, I didn't, truth be told, did not follow the story the last 2 years. Was not reading up on the court logs and the updates of the case. I'd totally forgotten about it. But I remember we watched the footage 2 years ago on the cut sheet. And my opinion was, and I looked at the footage again last night, you could just find it on X. It's very easy to pull up the footage from 2 years ago. I thought that that was excessive. What they did to that guy was wrong. I'm shocked that all three officers were acquitted based on visually what I saw from the direct evidence. Now, I have no idea what evidence was presented in court, who the defense lawyers were, did the prosecution blow it, so forth and so on. None of that. But I have not seen any media coverage of this, nor have I seen any outrage from the community on this one.
So two things. And number one, I'll say that all five of those Memphis officers, all five, not just the three from yesterday, but five who worked on that Scorpion unit.
That's what it was, Scorpion.
Scorpion. They're still awaiting their federal sentencing in connection with the death of Tyree Nichols. So they were, Biden's DOJ made sure that they had federal charges against them. Mm-hmm. They still face sentencing for the federal convictions. That's coming up in mid-June, June 16th. But I think it's an example of the fact, you know, you have a local jury of a diversified group of jurors. They're looking at these law enforcement officers. They're looking at everything that happened, not just a 30-second snippet that happened on social media. And as they look through this piece by piece, the fact that they found these officers yesterday not guilty, I think is telling, because a lot of times something goes viral and yeah, in that snippet, it looks horrible,
mm-hmm.
but we shouldn't be convicting anybody by 10 or 20 or 30, not even 30 seconds of what happens, because something might look bad. Then all of a sudden you show all the different angles of the camera, the body cameras, you show everything that happened. You play the 911 calls, you play the audio,
right.
You talk to the eyewitnesses. And so as you go through that, all of a sudden you realize, oh, wait a minute, there's a whole lot more to the story that was never told.
Mm-hmm. And some of the specifics for those that might not recall, Nichols is a 29-year-old black man. He fled a traffic stop after he was yanked out of his car. He was pepper sprayed, hit with a taser. Five officers, who are also black, caught up with him and punched, kicked, and hit Nichols with a police baton, struggling to handcuff him as he called out for his mother just steps from his home. And now that really resonates. I remember that part specifically. We were talking about that. Nichols died on January 10th, 2023.
Three days later.
3 days later. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just an awful and a sad story. But yet, I'm just looking at it from, I had my Dawn Stensland hat on yesterday as far as the media coverage goes and the media bias and bias by omission. And I'm just thinking, man, thank God, because, you know, this is what I think the left is looking for, whether it's with, you know, Kilmar Abrego Garcia or the Austin Metcalf, Carmelo Anthony story. I really feel like, I mean, look at what the left is doing right now. They're grasping at straws, right? They're trying to defend Kilmar Abrego Garcia on due process. And, you know, they're riding and dying on all these 80-20 hills that they're on the losing side of. And when I immediately saw this story yesterday, I'm thinking back to 2020. The riots, the protests, and what's the common denominator? Not that he has anything to do with it, but the common denominator being when Trump's in office, right? We saw that COVID and George Floyd, those were the two derailments, the final year of the Trump administration, and then we end up having Biden in office. And I'm thinking, here we go again. We're now, this is different because it was the end of the Trump term 5 years ago. We're at the beginning of a Trump term. There's all sorts of things in the news that he's doing. He's flooding the zone. He's flooding the zone. All we need now is another. And oh, by the way, it's the month of May again as well, which is the same month the whole George Floyd thing broke out 5 years ago. We don't need another summer of love this time in Memphis. And then we're going to have every left-wing politician out there bringing up the race card and, you know, stoking fear and division. And I'm over all of that. I think a lot of America is over that. But of course, none of that, to my knowledge, has happened in the first 24 hours because I have not seen any sort of unrest in society after that story broke yesterday. 855-839-1210 is the number. Let me just wrap up with this, and we probably won't have the time to get into all of it, and we could do it a little bit later, especially if the cuts kind of roll into this conversation. This Marco Rubio thing is fascinating. I've got two stories in front of me. Semaphore has a story about how Trump is kind of in a playful coach, dad with two kids kind of way, seeing who's got what it takes to be the successor. Yeah.
Little Marco.
Little Marco, right?
The little brother, and I don't say it like that because I know he's older than J.D. Vance, but he's kind of the little brother who got picked on, who dad may have picked on as well.
Yes.
And now he's like the rising star.
I've been telling you guys about him. I've been talking about him for a
while. Yes.
He's impressive.
He's done a nice job, but I think that's where it ends for me. So Semaphore has a headline, Trump stokes a Vance Rubio competition. I saw this yesterday. And then also Scott Jennings, who does great work on CNN, he's also like a writer for like five different websites, one of which is the Daily Mail. And Scott Jennings wrote this glowing piece about how Marco Rubio, once on the opposite end of MAGA in 2016, has risen up the power rankings internally. And look, I get it. He's wearing multiple hats. He's done a very good job. He's a big attraction to get the Latino vote for the Republican Party, which Trump has already done very well with, specifically Latino men. But let me just say this. I think there are some people that are really, really good in certain roles, like Ron DeSantis. And I'm gonna contradict myself intentionally here in a moment.
I like that.
Ron DeSantis showed that he was a great governor, but he could not rise up and dethrone Trump and win over the Republican Party to win the primary and run in 2024. But that's a different comparison. DeSantis has warts, and it got exposed against Trump. He wasn't worthy of defeating Trump. But this notion, and I'm going to come back to the DeSantis train for a minute here, the fact that Marco Rubio would be considered a better option than Ron DeSantis, to me, is ludicrous. And the same thing with J.D. Vance. I like J.D. Vance. You guys know that. Tremendous senator, young, vibrant. He's well-spoken. He's very even-keeled. But to just omit Ron DeSantis in a conversation of Marco Rubio and J.D. Vance, to me, is outrageous, because Ron DeSantis has shown, when he is the CEO and he's calling the shots, which is what he does in the state of Florida, many Republicans would agree Ron DeSantis is the best governor in the United States of America. A lot of people believe that. Certainly within red states with a Republican governor, I think that is probably not even up for debate. You want to try to argue Greg Abbott? Okay. You want to try to argue Mike DeWine in Ohio? Whoever you want to find in a red state. But this Rubio thing, and I know we're 3 years away, I would still put J.D. Vance and Ron DeSantis ahead of Marco Rubio.
I agree with you.
I don't get the Rubio thing for president. I get it. And here's what I'll say. Not to kill Rubio, I'd have no problem if he was J.D. Vance's running mate as vice president.
Well, that's also, if you read ahead in the Semaphore article, I think it was the Semaphore article, because I read like a couple things on this yesterday, that they're saying, is this like the matchup for 2028, or is this going to be the ticket for 2028?
You know what I mean? That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, and who knows? I mean, Rubio could lose to Vance in the primary, and then JD says, hey, man, you want to team up here? I know we were just debating on the debate stage. Do you want to be my running mate? Because Rubio, I think, does offer a lot to a ticket. I just don't see him as the CEO. I don't see him as a president. It's like kind of like that offensive coordinator where you're like, he's really good at that, but I don't know that he's the head coach. Dawn, do you disagree?
Yes.
Okay.
Because, first of all, he's a known entity in this country because of his work as a senator. So he's a big name. He has been a presidential contender. But let us not forget what has happened in this country. Let us not forget that the Hispanic vote, and think about even in the city of Philadelphia, not just in Pennsylvania, not just in the Hazleton area, right? But I'm talking not just in that sent McKenzie to Congress, but in the city of Philadelphia with a Latino vote coming out for Trump. And so Rubio, if you think about Reagan Democrats back in the day, my feeling is that Rubio will absolutely, if you think about it, whether or not you've been here for generations, or whether you've recently gotten your citizenship as an Hispanic Latino American, and you think that Marco Rubio, Spanish speaking, now he's cute. I understand that he's Cuban American, but still, I do think that there's that feeling of pride that he would be the first Hispanic president. That is huge.
Scott Jennings actually echoes what you're talking about, and he says in his column, a refreshing aspect of Rubio's leadership. He knows how to talk to the American people in plain English. There's no pablum or government speak from Rubio. He simply lays flat the issue.
So does J.D. Vance.
Agreed. Yes. Agreed. Agreed.
Even more so than Rubio, because Rubio comes across a little smarmy. J.D. Vance doesn't.
I agree with that on Rubio. He does. I get this.
He's Ron DeSantis 2.0. I'm just telling you.
No, he's not.
I
disagree.
I don't think DeSantis is swarmy.
As Secretary of State.
Oh, yes,
he's
yes.
He's been very impressive. Yeah.
I think DeSantis can be a little abrasive. I don't think DeSantis is swarmy. I don't get that, like, what would be another word for swarmy? I feel like it's also swamp. Marco Rubio feels a little swampish to me. I know he's talked a good game, but, you know, it's the same thing in a different way with Vivek Ramaswamy. Remember when I said Vivek almost seems too polished, too good to be true? He's got all the articulate talking points almost memorized like a robot, and that was like kind of a little bit of a red flag for me. That's kind of the same gist I get from Rubio. Vance seems like just a straight shooter, just everyday dude, right? He's got the beard now. We've seen him on the podcast having a beer, wearing his hat. If I get
he's
that
J.D.
Vance...
He's bringing his kids everywhere with him, which I think is awesome.
Yeah. If I get that Vance moving forward, it could be Vance in a runaway for the primary. 855-839-1210. All right, we'll take a quick break. Come back, get to a Thursday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet. And my favorite clip will be coming up at some point, and it's about Bernie Sanders and
oligarchy.
It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
My friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles, featuring the latest luxury vehicles from today's top brands. I'm talking about Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar, Land Rover, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, Maserati, and more. And you know, these models with their sleek new designs and innovative features, they're powered by the very latest in technology. They have thousands of new as well as certified pre-owned vehicles, and they're available right now across Piazza's Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey dealerships. Piazza Premium Automobiles always stands out. Visit them. Piazza, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
But right now, we find out what Greg Stocker has lined up for a Thursday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
What's on the Cut Sheet on this Thursday? Sponsored by Rita's Italian Ice, your favorite soda just got cool. A cool new twist, new cola ice. Is now at Rita's. Try the new Twisted Cola Blender drink, topped with cocoa lime cream, or dig into the cola gelati. Stop by Rita's and grab cola treats before they are gone. Be cool at Rita's. Thank you, Rita's, for sponsoring the ever-important Thursday edition of What's on the Cushy. Good day for Rita's today, by the way. 80 degrees, right?
80 yeah, pretty much.
Yes.
And then tomorrow it's going to... The S is going to hit the fan.
Yeah.
Some water ice.
Water ice.
Water.
Get it while water. They're... Get it before they're gone. I want to go back to Casey Means, who's being touted as the next Surgeon General of the United States. I just want to, you know, I'm accused a lot by people who think that I am overtly hard and critical on Bobby Kennedy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have nothing bad to say about this woman. Let me just say that. I think she's a great pick for Surgeon General. I played the Bill Maher clip earlier. Now I want to play just a quick clip when she was on Rogan. Saying everything that needs to be said about the health industry and Pfizer and everything, the pharmaceutical industry, and how we're just getting fattest houses mm-hmm. and the rate of epidemics that are happening in this country. This is cut 23, Phil. Roll it.
You know, in trying to understand, like, why don't I feel right about my work, I just started looking at the data in a different way, and I started to look at what was happening with health trends. And if you just kind of run through the list of what's happening, it's unbelievable. Like, we are getting destroyed, and it's very recent, and it's accelerating. The stats speak for themselves. You know this very well. 74% of Americans are overweight or obese. 50% now of American adults have type 2 diabetes or prediabetes. These were diseases where there was 1% of Americans in 1950 had type 2 diabetes. Now it's 50% of Americans have prediabetes or type 2 diabetes. Alzheimer's dementia are going through the roof. Young adult dementias have increased like 3 times since 2012. So early onset dementias, we're seeing, you know, this 1 in 2 Americans are expected to have cancer in their lifetime now. 1 in 2. Wow. And young adult cancers are going up 79% in the last 10 years. We've got, of course, the autism rates are absolutely astronomical. 1 in 36 children has autism now in the United States. That was 1 in 150 in the year 2000. And in California, where I live, it's 1 in 22. 1 in 22 with a lifetime neurodevelopmental disorder. We've got infertility going up 1% per year. 25% of men now under 40 have erectile dysfunction, a quarter of the country. You know, this is fundamentally a metabolic disease. We've got 77% of young Americans can't serve in the military because of obesity or drug abuse. We've got autoimmune diseases. Some studies are saying they're going up 13% per year. It's really unbelievable. And I could go through so many more diseases. Of course, we've got heart disease, which is almost totally preventable, as the leading cause of death in the United States, killing around 800,000 people per year. And I think as I kind of just looked around, and again, these are just statistics, I started trying to put the pieces together. Why is this happening? Why are these all going up all at once? And that led me on what is now a 7-8 year journey, ultimately leaving the surgical world, putting down my scalpel forever. Because what I realize is that when you go to the science with a root cause perspective, you go back to PubMed with a slightly different perspective, not how do I treat the diseases once they emerge, but why are they happening? You see a very obvious, blaring answer, which is why we had to write a book about it, which is that it's all caused by metabolic dysfunction.
I mean, the truth is they're poisoning us. They're killing us. They're making us sick. It's cyclical. We've talked about
that. Well, we're doing it to ourselves.
And we are doing it to ourselves. And I know it's hard to afford organic. It's more expensive. I know it's hard to go to a better grocery store with better products. But there are solutions. There are alternatives. I mean, we can eat smaller portions. We could eat boring, bland, quote, awful food, but it's actually really healthy for you. And we don't have to necessarily pay for the organic fruits and produce or the high-end quality beef and things like that that are astronomical in prices compared to the cheap, quick alternative. But it's also, you're right, it's also some of us. And it's not to change, not to let big pharma and big food and everybody else off the hook, because it's a cycle. It's all meant to keep you in the system and create massive profits for these corporations. But also, you know, I mean, I'll tell you this, when I had reflux really bad and I had to have reflux surgery, prior to having reflux surgery, I tried to do it naturally by eating all of the non-acidic stuff. Right, my acid reflux doctor. I think it was an ENT. I forget her name. She's at Drexel. She says you got to quit coffee. You have to quit alcohol. I said okay, that sucks. Yes, I drink both. And she's like, no onions, no garlic, no red sauces, no tomatoes. You know, everything that you like is acidic. And for about a 6 month stretch, I lost 25 pounds. I was eating whole wheat breads. I was eating, you know, fish and stuff with no seasoning on it. No added flavors on any. It was the most boring diet of all time. But, man, I had energy. I lost weight. I was in great shape. It sucked. I was miserable. And then I'm like, you know what? I'll just take the damn surgery. I enjoy my acidic food and beverages. And I've been great ever since. But it can be done.
What she talks about in her book, Good Energy, which I have, and it has recipes in the back, then I don't have her separate cookbook, but all of it is about the fact, and it's what you experience when you go to places like Italy, where everybody eats whole foods, not all the processed to-go foods that have a shelf life of years like we have in America. And that's why the rest of the world does not accept our food unless it's actually has different ingredients.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy that we are just, no matter what I think of the people personally, I'm just so happy that we're throwing a grenade into the healthcare industry. It needed to be done. It absolutely needed to be done. I think that that's the best part of what's happening right now. And, you know, just having people in there that are just questioning what's happening now and saying, like, hey, you know what? Maybe the way we've been doing things isn't working. Maybe we need to do something different. You know, and it's pointing out all of this stuff that we all know, but we all keep our head in the sand. Yeah. We all keep our head in the sand.
Or we see don't cancer have the rates courage going, to speak up.
We see cancer rates going up. We see heart disease, you know, numbers tripling. We see all this happening, and we're just like, well, it's not me, so it's not. But, you know, you can't go on like this.
Of course not.
So, I'm just happy that we're thinking outside of the box with this, because, by the way, a lot of other countries do the same thing.
Yes, and I love the fact that there are people out there willing to risk their professional livelihoods and have the machines smear them and cancel them for talking about the increase of cancers, the metabolic issues, the diabetes, the autism, whatever it is, any condition. I mean, there's something going on here, because these, and I think it's beyond, and I get it, and I think you are right to some extent, Greg, when you talk about we're testing more, better technology, we're catching this stuff, but there's also legit increases based on the garbage that we've been given over the last 35 years.
Agreed. There's it's not all in one, you know, neatly packaged box.
Correct.
It's like, well, this is happening because of this. There's a lot of different factors.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I hate when you cite studies. It's like, well, you know, it's it's an increase in this by this much. But you have to factor in other factors of why that's happening. So like when stats are thrown out, you know, I'm very skeptical of them. But also, I have my own eyes. I can see what's happening to the world and to people. And you know what I mean? So, like, you know, you can't not admit that something needs to change.
Yeah.
And I hope that, you know, with the addition of her and Kennedy and stuff like that, that, you know, we can get some answers to a lot of this stuff.
I'm on a salad kick right now. I'm having salads almost twice a day. For the light, now it's not really working for my weight loss, but I know I'm eating healthy and clean. I'm eating lettuce, tomato, cucumber, carrot, onion.
What are you doing?
I don't know. I might need to go on Wegovy just to lose the 15.
Oh, for God's sake.
I might need to. No, I don't know what else I can do.
Not for 15, dude. You can do 15 by yourself.
I'm eating salads and running 4 miles a day.
What salad dressing are you using?
Exactly.
How big are the
portions?
Well, the portions are
good. No. What salad dressing are you using?
I make a homemade dressing. I use olive oil from Linda Kearns that she brought back.
Yeah.
Fresh crushed garlic in my little garlic presser. My daughters like to try it, and they never can do it because their hands aren't strong enough. And fresh squeezed lemon juice. Oil, lemon, and garlic.
And that's the thing.
Oh, it's great.
Because a lot of people, you think you're eating, for example, a healthy salad.
Yeah, I'm not eating Hidden Valley Ranch,
right.
Trust me.
It's got all these.
Yeah.
You know, so the deal is, and her whole philosophy is basically that food is medicine, and that we have to get back to that in this country.
Everybody, like, I can't eat that. It doesn't. Like, they have, you know, 40-year-olds or 45-year-olds have the same reaction to food that my 4-year-old does.
Yeah.
But I don't like it. It's not good. It's like, yeah, you expect that from a 4-year-old. A 45-year-old, like, I get it. Not everything you eat is going to be delicious.
Yeah.
But it's going, it needs to, you know, you need it for fuel.
Well, yeah, that's exactly the word I was going to use.
It's what we live on.
It's fuel.
Yes.
Tom Brady said it with his TB12 diet.
Oh, God.
And I get it. We all don't have Brady's bank account and chefs and personal cooks. But he says for him, how he was able to play 20-plus years in the NFL was he used food as fuel. He said, I would love to go get a quarter pounder. But he holds off.
If you track this, and I've been doing so many stories on it over the years, but if you track this, this goes back to the history of it. Is in this country was Eisenhower had heart problems, and then there was this Harvard University backed study that turns out, and this has been proved, you can look it up, but the Harvard University researchers were paid off by Big Sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And so because the truth is, they said, you want low fat. You know, you want a low-fat diet, low-fat. So Big Sugar fueled the study.
Yes, lobbyists.
And that's why we were convinced that, you want a low-fat diet. That's not true.
Lobbyists have been the scourge of society for years.
But Harvard University was complicit.
Yeah, of course. Money's the root of all evil.
It took big payoffs.
Yes. Yeah,
so refined sugar. Her diet, she says, infuse the fats, healthy fats, and the grains and fiber, omega-3 fatty acids.
It's not just
micronutrients, antioxidants.
I know not everything you eat is going to be delicious. Just eat, you know what I mean? Like
avocado.
Oh, I love avocado.
Beans.
Yep.
You know.
Also, one last point on this, too. We've seen the rise of colon cancer in people under the typical age where you start to go for your annual colon screening. There's a lot of people out there that have been writing about the rise of colon cancer being linked possibly to the energy drinks. When you go into a Wawa or a Turkey Hill or a gas station convenience store or a grocery store, have you ever seen the sheer volume of energy drinks that are now on the market?
So many.
I can't
even keep up
with them.
They're so bad for you, too.
You know, first it was Red Bull. Then it was Red Bull and Monster. Yeah. And then it's Red Bull, Monster, and Celsius. And now you go in there, and they've almost replaced the sodas with the energy drinks.
Agreed.
And there's a lot of crap in there. Even the sugar-free.
Process.
Yes. Yep. We do this ourselves, like a company's like, well, all of a sudden in the zeitgeist is like, well, soda's bad for you. Okay, so how do we get around that? I know, energy drinks. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the craze now all of a sudden. So
we'll just have a cup of black coffee later in the day.
And by the way, just the thing, like, there's not one thing causing, you know what I mean? Like, you can't say that, well, it's the rise in energy drinks that's causing the rise in colon cancer. It's all of these things. It's a it's a combination sure. of a lot of different things. It's not just energy drinks. Maybe energy drinks have something to do with it, but it's the combination of everything we put into our bodies. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening.
Yep.
Speaking of that, speaking of healthy, New York, Times Square, put a statue of a plus-size black woman.
I thought it was Letitia James at first glance, but I was wrong.
So once again, we're celebrating, and this is courtesy of CBS 2 New York. They interviewed people in Times Square, and they think it's wonderful because okay. it's somebody who looks like them.
Okay.
Again,
I saw this
celebrating this. Obesity. Yes, great. Look at an unhealthy broad. Let's give a statue to her.
Yeah. Bro, I thought it was Letitia James.
Woman, I'm a plus size man. I'm African American. It's an African American woman statue. So just seeing another piece for me to stop and just have a moment with was very powerful.
Me being a plus size black woman, I kind of looking at it was just like, ooh, I wonder what me as
her
a
name
small
is
child
Blessing Obese.
Looking at something like that representation.
Wait, hang on. What?
Wait. That can't be right. This is CBS 2 in New York?
Yes.
Go back to the beginning with her name title, right there. Scroll back to your right, Phil. Yeah, keep going a little bit to the right, a little bit. Pull it. No, to the right, your other right.
Blessing Obese. Blessing.
Kind of looking at it, it was just like, ooh, I wonder what.
Her name is Blessing Obese.
It's not a blessing to be obese. It's a death sentence.
Oh, my God.
You can't make that stuff up. I just saw that, and like, that can't be true.
I'm going to name my daughter Blessing. Oh, my Lord. Her name is Obese.
Yeah. I know everybody on social media yesterday was talking about it from the race perspective. I looked at it from the obesity. Like, are we really embracing our fatness? Like, I want to rip my love handles off right now and stomp on them with my golf cleats. And we're putting up statues for fat people.
Yeah.
Because, well, that resonates with me.
Do we know what the point of the statue is? Other than to make fatsos feel good about themselves?
I didn't want to go down the rabbit hole of figuring out what the hell this is supposed to mean because it would have taken up too much time of my day yesterday.
Well, the majority of U.S. adults and look at the numbers for children.
Yeah.
We are an obese society.
Although the BMI thing is antiquated. We've got to stop with the, well, Nick, you really should be 167 pounds. I actually was down, and I swear to God, in 2017, right before I moved to Tennessee.
Blessing obese.
I got down to 158.
Wow.
I have the pictures in my phone. I'm going to send them to you now. We're going to get these on YouTube. You tell me.
Did you look like an AIDS patient?
I did. I looked like an AIDS patient where I was going through chemo.
Oh, my Lord.
You know, I'm not trying to insult anybody that, yeah. But like I looked sick. And I was 158 pounds. I was 10 pounds below what, if you look it up, Dawn, if you could, pull up the body mass index and see what I should be. I'm about 5'9". I like to say 5'9 and a half. Yeah. Stalker refuses to give me 5'10". He says it's not.
I don't even think you're 5'9". I think you're 5'8".
I think at 5'9", I should be like $165, $168. And Phil, I'm going to send you a picture of me in 2017. After my reflux diet and reflux surgery, and I was below the BMI, and you tell me that I look like I'm, oh, Nick, you look great. I looked awful. I had a full head of hair, by the way, as well. This is going to break YouTube.
Yeah, like 169, 170.
That's what I thought.
Between 169 to 176 is probably what they're saying is optimum.
What's mine? I'm 6'2".
6'2". Optimum. Is like 195-ish.
Yeah.
195, 202-ish.
And what do you weigh, Stalker?
I'm like 210.
Okay. Yeah.
So you're good.
Yeah, you're fine.
You're in a good, healthy range.
Yep.
No, I think
if you're 10 pounds above the BMI, you're good. Like when there was a stretch when I was doing sports in Philly. This was 12, 13 years ago. I was right around 185, 190. And I was, that felt perfect for me. It looked perfect.
Yeah, I want to get below, I feel my best when I'm below 200. So, like I want to be in the 195, 200 range.
Okay.
So,
Greg, you're 6'2", right?
Yep.
So, if you get up to, your magic number, according to the BMI chart, is 233. If you're up to 233, that's obese.
Jesus. 233 is
233.
Obese? For 6'2"?
For 6'2".
I mean, I'm not, but that's a crazy number.
But see, the problem with this is, for an athlete who's working out like crazy because muscle weighs three times out of fat, they have to take that into account.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can we get back to blessing obese?
Yes. Yes.
Wait. Can,
I actually want to shame obese, to be honest.
Can you start this over, Phil? This video of the plus size African American woman.
Plus size woman. I'm a plus size man. I'm African American. It's the African American woman statue. So just seeing another piece for me to stop and just have a moment with was very powerful.
Me being a plus size black woman, I kind of looking at it was just like, oh, I wonder what me as a small child would have thought looking at something like that.
The piece is part of a series called Grounded in the Stars, which Gene Cooney, director of Times Square Arts, says confronts preconceived notions of identity and representation.
Oh, my God.
Identity and representation. So I don't understand. Why would you ever want your identity to be your gender or your weight? Yeah. Shouldn't your identity be, like, your vibrant personality?
But again,
you're a good person, career.
But again, as we're throwing... And look, I don't think anybody should be shamed at all. Like, I'm not, like, don't get me wrong. Because I'm looking at it from a health point of view. You know, if you're obese, and I'm not talking about 10 pounds over, 15 pounds over, even 20 pounds over. Like, I'm talking about people who are, right, who are obese.
A walking ad for diabetes.
Oh God, Nick, you look like you're 90 here.
You like that?
Oh my God.
That's why I had to shave the head.
Jesus, man.
That's 2016.
You're younger here than you are.
You like that? That's 2016 at 180. And they're, by the way, in a suit. So for everybody, oh, Nick, why do you wear shorts all the time? There's the suit. Look how nice I clean up. Jerks. Now I'm going to find, I'm scrolling through to find the picture where I was down to like 158.
We got you. I understand.
That's at a buck 85. That's the ideal weight for me.
I'm not even talking about the weight. Your weight looks fine there. I'm just talking about you look like you're 80.
Why do I look like I'm 80 there? Because of the half moon? Now you know why I shaved the head now. Made that decision about a year after that picture. It was time to go.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it was a good that was a good move. Were you losing in the back or just
No, I never had the crop dusting job in the back.
Gotcha.
No, it was just from front to back.
Yesterday there was a showdown between Cash Patel and Madeline Bean.
Oh, this is...
Did you guys see this?
Yes.
My Lord.
Madeline, and she obviously is Montgomery County.
Yes. You know what's funny in it, Dawn? It says in there she represents Abington, Pottstown, and Kutztown. Is that true? Like, that's a large area,
yeah.
And not a, like, equally dispersed area, right?
No, well, it's part Montgomery, part Berks, right?
I don't know.
Well, that was the guest we had yesterday. She, I can't believe I don't remember the name now. she was part Monco, the 24th district is part Monco, part Berks.
Yeah.
Which did you just say? What township's here?
So, from what I saw yesterday, it was Abington, Pottstown, Kutztown.
Yeah, well, Kutztown's definitely Berks.
Okay.
And Abington's definitely Monco, right?
Gotcha. Cut 11, Phil. She goes after him about the book he wrote and the enemies list, and she wants to know since she was on the impeachment, she was part of the impeachment trial, or the J6 committee, I think it was. I don't remember. When can she expect the FBI at her door is what she's asking here. Roll this.
I was an impeachment manager for President Trump's second impeachment. It was a sad, solemn duty. And so I wanted to ask you about that. Mr. Patel, as you and the president continue to weaponize and investigate his perceived enemies, as you follow this blueprint, when can I, a former impeachment manager, expect the FBI at my door?
Ma'am, you want to know who was targeted by a weaponized FBI? Me. You want to know how and why?
Well,
you want to know what I'm doing to fix it?
That. Let me move on.
Well, you should read the book because there's no enemies list on that book.
So
there are people that violated their constitutional obligations and their duties to the American people, and they were rightly called out. And you should give that book to every one of your constituents so they can read about it.
I won't be doing that.
That's their loss.
Oh, man. Their loss. Yeah, he just had a nice little sting on nailing child sex predators. You're starting to, if you're paying attention to the low level stuff that doesn't get the salacious headlines like Epstein, just watch
now.
We'll get
to Epstein in a second.
You're seeing Cash Patel and Pam Bondi do some good work. I've been very harsh on Pam Bondi, but when you're nabbing child predators, mm-hmm. Keep up the good work.
27 here, Phil, where she accuses him of committing perjury. Roll this.
That's their loss.
During your Senate confirmation hearings, you repeatedly denied having any involvement as a private citizen in the firing of FBI officials who engaged in the prosecution against January 6th insurrectionists, the violent rioters who beat and killed Capitol police officers, and whom you referred to as political prisoners. Since then, multiple whistleblowers have come forward, and we know that you likely committed perjury. At the same hearing, you claimed you were not familiar with Stu Peters, an anti-Semitic Holocaust denier.
Uh-oh.
Despite the fact that you appeared on Mr. Peters' podcast 8 separate times.
Oh, boy, Cash, come on, man.
And you claimed not to recall.
Uh-oh.
Mr. Patel, my second question is, should we worry more about your memory or your veracity?
We should worry more about your lack of candor. You're accusing me of committing perjury. Tell the American people how I broke the law and committed a felony. Have the audacity to actually put the facts forward instead of lying for political banter so you can have a 20-second donation hit.
The answer is both. I believe that
the answer is you're failing, not me.
I reclaim my time.
Go ahead.
Jeez, I didn't even realize that was going on yesterday. I must have missed that. I got to keep C-SPAN locked in.
These guys need to know what podcast they're going on first. Like, seriously,
yes.
Cash. Like, seriously, dude.
I didn't know he was on this. He was
eight
on
times
on the Stu Peters podcast.
Eight times.
Wow.
Come on, bro.
Yeah.
Well,
what's the context of even going on that? Why would he even be on that?
Because they have 800. He has 800,000 followers.
Oh,
that's the problem with a lot of these guys is that they're. There are people looking like who has the most followers on X.
Who's got the reach?
It's ridiculous because you know white supremacist a holes have you know giant reaches.
How do they stay on social media when some of us were shadow banned for nothing?
How does Stu Peters not get shut?
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, well, free speech, I guess, right?
One more from Cash Patel. He tells Congress that he rejected the Trump administration's proposed budget cuts for the FBI. Let's see what we think about this. Roll it.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Phil. This is 26.
Oh, and real quick, by the way, as far as you know, making ludicrous statements that are not true or perjury or false accusations and claims. Dawn, did any Capitol police officers get killed on January 6th? Because Madeleine Dean said that. I don't recall a police officer being killed by any J6 protesters or rioters. Do you?
Not that day, but the underreported story is how many committed suicide.
Yes. Okay, but nobody was killed. They took their own life.
No officers were killed.
Okay. Oh, I'm just checking.
All right, roll this.
In the budget department, but this is your budget.
It is broad.
This is your budget. You have to have some idea of what you want to fund.
Can I ask a question?
Where's DeLauro from again?
At
Vermont, Maine?
I don't remember. At what age does purple hair not work anymore?
After you're 16? After your sweet 16 party?
Look, I'm all for letting your freak flag fly, do whatever you want to with, you're an adult, but I mean, come on, lady.
Although I will say this, I've got to be honest here. It's bipartisan. It's not just, I've seen conservative women now with blue hair and purple hair. I'm just saying, I've seen them, I've met them.
Sure.
It is not just a identification tag for deranged left-wing progressives. I'm just putting that out there.
Roll this.
In the budget department, but this is your budget. This is your budget. You have to have some idea of what you want to fund or not fund, or where you think you can cut or not cut, and provide that information to OMB. I'm unclear, and it seems to me that you are, as to what should be the budget of this agency, and if it's $500 million lower, what are the positions
that you believe
will have to be cut in order to reach the mandate that you are bringing forward to us in terms of your budget?
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. That's the proposed budget, not by the FBI. The proposed budget that I put forward is to cover us for $11.1 billion, which would not have us cut any positions. The proposed budget.
So the skinny budget is we don't have the skinny budget is wrong.
The skinny budget is a proposal, and I'm working through the appropriations process to explain why we need more than what has been proposed.
So
in
what do you?
My God Almighty! I'm looking at Rose DeLauro. So she's from Connecticut.
Rose.
Yeah,
she looks like a rose.
82 years old.
With purple. Oh,
82 years old.
She's 82?
82. She was born March 2nd, 1943. 82. She's in her 18th term representing Connecticut's 3rd Congressional District.
18th
term. 18 ter- I haven't had 18 good days. She's on her 18th term.
Oh,
and God. Now, by the way, it's in, lost in my pile here. I know. I think either I found it or Stalker, you might have found it a few days ago. We haven't put it on the show sheet yet, but now's a good time to introduce it. California is starting the process of putting an age limit on politicians.
Yeah.
California, of all places.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where left-wing lunacy emanates from.
Mm-hmm.
And even they, and I don't think it'll ever work its way through and become a thing, but they're considering it. Rose DeLauro, Rosa DeLauro, 18 terms. How many how long are the terms? Is it 6 years? 18, no, that would, there's no way she would have been in office since she was 10. 18 times 2, 36.
The Senate's 6 years.
She's not a Senate. She's
House
in Congress.
2 years.
2 years. 36. She has been in office since 1991.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHT. Please hit the like and subscribe buttons while you're there. We're only at 125 likes. I don't like that. So I'm shaming everybody. Just go over there right now.
Are you going to do anything when we get to the likes that you want? Like kill a dog?
Hit the like and subscribe buttons. That's that old National Lampoon bit. YouTube.com/at1210WPHT. Please, if you're watching right now, hit the like button because the disparity is bugging me. All right, when are we going to get the Epstein files? When is this going to be released? Pam Bondi, a lot of lip service.
She was asked about it.
I get, yes, she was. I want to play this before we get to her line of questioning on it. This was released yesterday by James O'Keefe. This is a former royal family advisor confirming that Prince Andrew, quote, raped multiple young girls with help from Epstein. The video drop comes just days after one of these alleged girls, Virginia Gouffre, took her life. Prince Andrew was, quote, effing underage girls, according to this report here. Cut 31. I'm just going to play a little bit.
He was in the Navy. It was 250 days at sea. Never thought of him. I was really pissed because he lied.
This is John Bryan.
Epstein. And then I did a big thing in the Daily Mail saying that I believed Andrew. And then I found out he was lying.
John Bryan has been a close confidant to the British royal family for a long time. He worked for Queen Elizabeth II, was, quote, best friends with Princess Diana, and had a long-term intimate relationship with the Duchess of York, Sarah Ferguson. According to Bryan, he practically raised Sarah Ferguson's children, the princesses Beatrice and Eugene. And Brian said that he maintained a friendship with Ferguson's husband, the Duke of York, Prince Andrew.
Tell me, like, your story.
Tell my story. You want me to watch that?
All right, then he goes into it. You can see the full, like, six-minute video.
O'Keefe gets him, man. Dining, cocktails, and then they just spew all the secrets every time. Rinse, wash, repeat, right?
All right, so where are these files then, right?
I think they're sitting on Pam Bondi's desk.
Well, she was asked about it yesterday. There's two different cuts I have here, Phil. Where's the first one here?
The only explanation at this point for me as to why they have not been released
34
is because there's just damning evidence of a lot of people that are powerful.
She has an explanation.
34.
No, the FBI. Yeah, the FBI, they're reviewing. There are tens of thousands of videos of Epstein with children or child porn. And there are hundreds of victims. And no one victim will ever get released. It's just the volume, and that's what they're going through right now. The FBI is diligently going through that. I haven't seen that statement, but I'll call him later and find out.
All right, so tens of thousands of minors and victims, which, of course, they never should be released. Those names should be redacted.
The problem with this was this story has changed a million times.
That's
the problem with this.
Because I think she spoke out of line. I think she said something she shouldn't have, or she jumped the gun. And again, I don't think at the end of the day, two things. Number one, this should not tarnish her career in this role. Like I said, the stings, the operations that her, that she and Cash Patel are pulling off are commendable. They're nabbing a lot of these just disgusting, wretched human beings that are abusing and taking advantage of minors, boys or women or girls. But at the end of the day, there are people that care about this Epstein thing. They've talked about it. And look, I've said at the end of the day, from a talk show standpoint, it's great content for me, but it doesn't change the economy. It doesn't change wars and the border and law and order and the things that we ultimately care about. My life doesn't change one way or the other if I'm privy to this information.
There's child sex trafficking happening.
Right.
Like, this is an important issue.
Yes, but
they just announced yesterday this operation where they nabbed hundreds of these pedophiles. They just announced it.
But sadly, those of us out there that are clamoring for full transparency, no redactions, I hate to say it, you're not dying and waiting for the information on a 12-year-old that was victimized. You're waiting for the, I knew Bill Clinton was there. I knew it was Bill Gates. I knew it was insert whatever bigwig 1% elitist out there. I knew that. I knew Jay-Z or Diddy or, that's what everybody's waiting for. That's what everybody's clamoring for and wanting. Nobody's waiting for the 15-year-old that nobody's ever heard of that was on a sex tape with Jeffrey Epstein. It's hideous, and it should be condemned, but nobody's dying
Epstein,
to know that.
Okay, Epstein is dead. That operation is shut down. So if they're promising that they're going to release it, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got 205 sicko perv pedophiles, human traffickers, who yesterday they announced they have rounded up.
Yep.
And so that is, you think about in basically 90 days on the job, they were able to net 205. What did the past administration
agreed.
Do?
Agreed. But the sad part is the average person that only reads headlines and scrolls their phone for 9 minutes a day.
Why isn't it in the headlines then, Nick?
Because they don't care.
No, it's because the media is not putting.
Correct. The media doesn't care.
Well, it's not that they don't care. They do care. That's why they're burying one thing and then elevating another.
Right. But I mean, like what they accomplished yesterday is tremendous. I mean, that's why I was clapping for Pam Bondi 10 minutes ago. But, you know, that doesn't drive the news cycle. That doesn't garner clicks and downloads and likes and retweets. When you're looking at it from the business perspective of these media outlets, they want to run with, I mean, we hear it in our industry. Play the hits. Play the hits.
Oh, no. If a Democrat were president and you had 115 children rescued from child predators and 205 child predators and pedos who were netted, this would be the big lead story.
Oh, yes. From that vantage point of D versus R and who gets what coverage and what perspective and what light. Oh, yeah. No, I agree with you 1,000% there. Yep.
Yesterday, there was a New Jersey gubernatorial debate for the Republicans held by PBS. And the big question that everybody is asking is, there's the primary that's coming up next month, and once a New Jersey Republican is declared a winner, will the other support said winner? Would you like to hear the answers here? So this is Cittarelli, Bramnick, and Spadia.
Okay.
Roll this.
Do you support the winner of this primary? Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. The goal is to win.
Will you support the winner
Absolutely.
Of this primary?
Bramnick.
Bill Spadia.
It's a better question for Jack because he did not want my support nor President
That's
Trump's support in 2021.
That's a lie.
Well, that's my answer.
Can you pick one of us?
He supported Phil Rizzo in the primary. And when I won it, the next day he went on the air and started bashing
me. It's not true.
He's lying again. Jack.
Bill Spadia. Full MAGA? More like full of bleep.
So apparently, Spadia does not say that he will support the winner.
Great. Well, then welcome in a Democrat. Let the Democrat tradition continue. A lot of people think that New Jersey is there for the taking. You look at Jack Cittarelli a few years ago, how close he was. Look at the percentage point. What was that point? And
if Republicans had come out, he'd be governor.
Right. Yes. Again, we go back and we talked about this at Politics and Pints 2 nights ago. Staying engaged, staying activated. I don't want to go on my tangent again. I'll go on the tangent again. What the hell? You can't cry, whine, bitch, and moan about Democrats. And when you have the chance to beat them, just sit it out. If I have to have Athan Kutz or Rumbas come on one more time from Real Clear Politics or anybody that looks at polling data and turnout ratios and say, I don't know, Republicans just, they stopped coming. 5 o'clock, it was like a ghost town at the polling location. I'm going to break something. I can't take it anymore. It's not a viable excuse. Don't tell me you work. Don't tell me you're uninformed. Don't tell me you didn't know. There's 24 hours in a day. There's not a human being alive that doesn't have the time to accomplish or look up something that takes 9 seconds. If you evaluate your entire life and all the waste, fraud, and abuse in your own life as you're scrolling social media or you're loading Netflix or all this ridiculous distraction in society, if it means that much to you where you bitch about it incessantly on social media and then you sit it out, you're just like the Democrats then. Because you keep voting for it, you want Brandon Johnson, you want Jim Kenney, you want Larry Krasner, you want these imbeciles, these progressives that don't create a damn ounce of progress and turn things into third world hellholes. You get what you vote for? Well, if you don't vote, you get what you did not vote for. And that's more of what you despise. So don't come to me with the excuses anymore. I'm done with the excuses. This is an adult radio show and an adult radio station. Don't tell me I work and the Democrats don't work. If anybody wants to challenge me on that, let's go. Open phones, 855-839-1210. Don't tell me you didn't know. That's what I tell my daughters at 10. Ignorance is no defense. Not in a court of law and not in politics. Now, why did you have to play that clip, Greg? Sorry. Now I'm all worked up. I'm overclamped. My palms are sweaty.
Ugh.
Knees weak. Mom's spaghetti.
Don't touch anything. I want your gross germs everywhere. All right, we have to take a break. But the best clip of the day, Bernie Sanders, coming up.
Oligarchy.
In 3 minutes.
Stay right there.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
One of our Travis Mannion Foundation veterans that we spoke with, Joey Fay.
Love
he was
Joey.
One of our guys.
Yep.
He was he at politics? No, he was not at politics in Pines. I've seen him somewhere recently out and about. He says he's a great show so far. I agree with you. Epstein is all about the gotcha moment. Although I would like to know if anybody still in office was involved, because if so, they've got to go, which I don't know if there's anybody in office. And when we say in office, I mean, that's a very broad, stroke of the brush here. At what level are we talking, right? I don't know about that, but I think there are just a lot of people in society, whether it's, you know, in technology and entertainment, perhaps in politics as well, that I think we're going to have a lot of these names that are going to be withheld. That to me is still the big thing here. That's what I was saying as far as the media coverage goes, as far as, you know, what is going to get all the attention. That's what we're all clamoring for. So, appreciate that from Joey, by the way.
Who is right and who is wrong in this situation? This happened on a Frontier airline. The video went viral yesterday after a man tried to check in 30 minutes before the flight. The employees refused to check him in, and then they started filming. He was filming them, so they started filming him, and then he was these Frontier airline workers were mocking
yep.
him as a passenger. So what's the time frame that you can check in before a flight and then you can't anymore? Do you know?
Ooh, that's a good question. I do not know. But we live in a film culture now, right? Everybody
sure.
wants to film everybody for documentation
yep.
to prove who's right, who's the victim. But this is, and I've seen this clip, this is what you get. Frontier, Allegiant, Spirit. This is the same type of stuff constantly with these three.
YouTube.com/@1210WPHT to watch this video. Phil, if you can, before you play the video, can you put up a poll? Who is right and who is wrong in this? Is it the man or is it the Frontier employees?
Yep.
Now, remember, this man tried to check in 30 minutes before the flight. I'm not sure about that timing and if you're still allowed to, but it escalated. Roll the video.
I'm here 30 minutes before the flight.
Can you please leave, sir?
No.
Can you please leave my personal space?
I'm decided that you ain't going to let me check in.
Make me check you in.
You literally work for a company that I bought a plane ticket for. Check in.
And you're not getting on your flight.
Because it's a Pasta Mayday flight. You did that.
And you think, oh, you're going to check me in. I bet you we won't.
Okay. I paid for a ticket.
And you I paid for a ticket. For agency fee, and you checked in 3 hours later. Hello.
I just said that I
get on your flight.
Yeah, I just said that I would pay the $25.
And you thought you were going to get on your flight. And you thought you were going to get on your flight. And you thought you were going to get on your flight. And you thought you were.
Can you imagine this? Can you imagine?
It's just awful.
This, just stop it in
my personal space.
Back it up a couple seconds, Phil.
I just did a quick Google search. It says this is the AI overview answer. The latest you can check in for most domestic flights is 30 minutes before your scheduled departure time if you are not checking baggage, or 45 minutes if you are. For international flights, the latest check-in time is 60 minutes before departure.
So 30 minutes, if he wasn't going internationally, is
the cutoff.
Is the cutoff, so he could still check in, correct?
Yes, if his times are accurate and he's telling the truth, yes.
But like, just these women mocking him for it. Like, he's not.
Oh yeah.
And we don't know what led up to
right,
this. Okay.
Right.
So like, I'm just going by this video.
Sure.
But it seems to me that like they're like yeah, make us check you in. Like, what kind of employee says that?
Yeah, I know. And whatever happened to the old mantra of the customer is always right?
Yeah.
You know, it's just I've gone on this tangent before on this show of feeling like I'm bothering employees at an establishment where their job is to serve you.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
Like you ask somebody, hey, do you have this in a medium in the back? I don't see them. They look at you like you've asked them to, you know, cure childhood cancer. Does this come in another? And they look like you are the annoyance to them.
I know.
Like, no, wait a minute. You're being paid here to work. And I'm not asking for the moon. I'm not asking for the roll out the red carpet or some grand treatment.
Yep.
Just give me some good customer service.
Yeah.
What I'm paying for.
All right. Keep going with this.
And you thought you were going to get on your flight.
I literally paid for a ticket. I'm here 30 minutes. I'm here 30 minutes before my flight. And they're not letting me check.
We don't control that.
You're about to let me check in.
Oh,
and you're not in your personal space. This is not your personal space.
This is
not your personal space. You work for a company. This is not your personal space. You don't have to worry about it. You're literally not doing your job for a customer that has paid for a plane ticket to get home.
I tell you, stop putting the camera.
I'm literally here at Frontier. I bought a ticket, and they are not letting me check in.
I mean, first, it's Frontier.
Yeah. Be glad you get a
seatbelt. For no reason whatsoever. I've already bought a ticket. I've literally already bought a ticket, and this is your reaction.
It's unbelievable.
It really is, and I've seen it. I've witnessed it. Not that specific situation or scenario, but now again, and this is in an airport, so you know there's surveillance and there's video everywhere. So we will, I guess, in theory, get the ultimate truth based on the eyes in the sky, because you know airports are like casinos. They've got those cameras up in the ceiling, and they monitor everything, and rightfully so.
So youtube.com/at1210WPHD to vote on this. Right now we have, let me look at the who is right, employee or the man. 90% say the man is correct.
Yeah, I would agree.
I
based on that evidence there.
Based on that evidence, I would absolutely agree. Can you imagine just that? Make me check you in.
Yeah.
Make me check you in. Make me.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
Yeah.
Oh, I would lose my ever loving mind.
I am almost
expletives would fly out of my mouth. Oh, it would be bad. I would have to physically remove me.
If I'm doing a quick flight, you know, if I'm going to go down to Nashville for whatever, an hour and 27 minutes, yeah. I'll still use, you know, the cheapest flight possible. I mean, it's like getting on the turnpike and going from Philly to the Poconos. You're in and out, you're done that quickly. But anything long, anything three quarters of the way across the country, anything international, no doubt about it. There's no way I would settle for anything less than whatever the premier, I don't know if that's United or American or whatever.
All right. How much would it take for you to do ultimate whip fighting, Nick Kale?
Well, I mean, my wife claims she's had me whipped for 20 years, so I'd probably do it pro bono.
I have no idea where this video is from, but if you watch it, youtube.com/at1210WPHT, it's two grown men with masks on, and they're literally, they literally have bull whips, you know, those big bull whips, and they're whipping one another. Roll this video, Phil, please. Wow. Oh!
That's gonna sting.
Oh man, look
at this. That'll leave a mark.
Where does this happen, by the way? Whip fighting.
Are you hard enough?
Oh man! Ah!
Team Valley. This is domestic. This is in the United States.
Yes.
And they're wearing, looks like goggles almost.
Is Dana White involved in this? Is Paul Levesque?
TKO just purchased this. The Rock just purchased a share of this. But you know what? This is, you talked about earlier today with Dawn, with the shootings, the violence. We're attracted to violence. I know we cringe and we want to clean up the violence on the streets. But, I mean, how many times, we just love collisions, right?
Like,
we see a wreck on the road, and instead of staying focused and just driving by, we slow down to observe it. We love carnage. We love chaos. I'll tell you, I could not watch that. I know that was for the cut sheet. But if you told me, forget pay-per-view, I would never pay for that. But if that was on,
I would.
See, I don't know. Everybody's blown away by the fact that I'm a wrestling fan, but I'm not a UFC fan. I don't want to see people legitimately beaten to a pulp. Yeah. My thing.
Ultimate
it's
whip.
In a primitive.
Ultimate,
nature.
Yeah. Ultimate it whip is. Fighting.
Ultimate whip fighting. Now, for the right cost, would I get in the ring? Would I do it for charity?
Those bull whips, man, they hurt.
Yeah, they do. They do.
It goes back to the gladiator days.
It does. It does. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in our blood.
Do you ever watch a cockfight?
Yes. No, not really. No, absolutely not.
No, I would never watch it.
I've never seen video.
You ever see Filipino slap fighting?
I
believe I have, yes.
Yeah.
Slap?
Yeah.
These guys, they get there. It almost looks like the arm wrestling little podium, you know, where you put your elbow down.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to stand there and you brace yourself. And your opponent gears up, but they can't really move their body too much to get too much force and momentum, and it's a battle of slapping and see who has the stronger chin.
Slappy.
Yeah.
Slappy.
We should throw another poll question up. Whip, what was that called? Whip fighting?
Ultimate whip fighting.
Ultimate whip fighting.
Yep.
Cock fights.
Yep.
Or Filipino slap fighting.
All right, No more.
Which one would you like to partake in?
No more poll questions.
I love polls.
Yesterday, we played, Joe Biden sat down with the BBC, and we played the fact of, they asked him, you know, if it would have made a difference if he would have dropped out earlier. And he's like, no, not a joke. I don't think so.
But it was painful, wasn't it?
I don't think so. She was ready to go.
Just relax. He had a cold.
Why the BBC?
In this interview, he talks about the infamous meeting between Trump and Zelensky. Roll this.
Look, listen to what Putin said when he talked about going from Kyiv into Ukraine and why. He believed it was part of Mother Russia. He believes in historical rights to the Ukraine. He talks about
what?
Eastern Europe. What this man wants to do is reestablish the Warsaw Pact. He can't stand the fact that the Russian dictatorship that he runs, that the Soviet Union has collapsed. And anybody thinks he's going to stop is just foolish. And look, we have a trillion-dollar economies with economic exchanges with Europe. I just don't understand how people think that if we allow a dictator, a thug, to decide he's going to take significant portions of land that aren't his, and that's going to satisfy him. I don't quite understand.
So a war that lasted 2.5 years under Biden's watch during his term, according to the guy that allowed it to continue to happen while handing over $400 billion or whatever the total is of money and weaponry and funds to Zelensky, is basically saying that if Putin wants to be a bully and a dictator, this is never going to end. Is that the vibe that you got? I felt like he was saying there that Trump's never going to get peace between these two nations. Was that the takeaway that you had? Because to me, I think Trump can absolutely get peace. Now, I know he said on day one or in 1 week or whatever. Again, I think we will see it at some point this spring.
Yeah, I think it will happen. But we learned under Trump, actually, that under Kyiv and the part of so-called Mother Russia, maybe Russia wants that region also because it has those rare minerals.
Yeah. It's all about the rare minerals these days. Everybody's clamoring for them.
Do you guys remember, we talked about this, I think it was last week, maybe it was the week before, I don't remember, the never-ending show that just goes on and on and on and on and on. People don't understand this, by the way. Like, this job is like filling 4 or 6 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
It just never ends.
No.
It never ends.
Well, I've been trying to tell you. I think, 6 to 9 sounds a lot more appealing than 6 and 10.
Stop.
I mean,
stop.
I get the sense you're in agreement now.
In the world that everybody works more, no.
Well, here's the truth. The truth is that's why back in the day when we didn't have Trump and these crazy news cycles that are basically every 2 to 3 hours, you would have a bigger staff because you'd have to have feature reports and we had beat reporters. You know what I mean?
We never had any of that.
I mean, well, okay, in television news.
Okay. Yeah, I was gonna
but
say.
That's why we have, and I think this is not a great thing because nowadays, rather than have people who are beat reporters, in other words, people who cover regular segments of energy, mm-hmm. medicine, city hall, local politics, what we have are pundits. So-called.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's...
Blowhards, gas bags.
Yeah.
Guys like me.
I didn't mean to get off...
No. I wasn't saying that. I guess I'm just saying more news.
I didn't mean to get off on a tangent.
No, but that's where the industry has gone.
Yeah.
When I saw this 15 years ago in sports. It wasn't about reporting. It wasn't about the journalism. It wasn't about the beat writer. It was about opinion. It was about commentary and content. Mm-hmm. And that's what the whole industry revolves around now.
You remember the 20-year-old fan who fell over the bleachers there in Pittsburgh? So there's a new angle that has just been released of this. I don't know if you guys saw this. Now,
the fan's recovering now.
Yeah. Yes. He's awake, alert, and able to speak. His family says he still has a long way to go in his recovery.
Is this about to confirm my claim that it looked like when I saw the first angle he jumped himself?
He was trying to get up, and from the report, and you can see the video, youtube.com/at1210WPHD. You can see the video. He gets, like, it looks like he's trying to leap up onto the, like, the railing there.
Yep.
and slips. Phil, watch the, Phil, play the video here. You can see the... Oh!
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
It's almost like he's leapfrogging, right?
That was the reaction I had when I saw the video on the left that we're watching right now. You go back to the beginning and you play it. Just watch the left. My claim was that it looked like he jumped.
Yes.
And now you look at it from the back view of the back of the outfield bleachers. It looks like he just lunged right over.
For those of you,
20-year-old Kevon Markwood.
Yeah. For those of you who can't get to YouTube, it almost looks like he's doing... Nick, like a WWE, like leapfrog
move. Over his opponent.
Yes. So I'm not like, was he jumping? Was he trying to get onto the railing? What does that look like to you?
Jumping for joy, maybe. It looked like that was a double that was hit in the actual game because you could see somebody rounding second base. So maybe it was a scoring play or the possibility of the Pirates putting a run on the board. And he was so ecstatic that he was on the railing and he was like, whoop, and he does like the little hurdle. I don't know.
Wow. He broke his neck.
Yeah.
Do we know if he was intoxicated? Has that been released yet? Because that looks to me, and I'm just by having been in a sporting event after, way too many beers, that move that he does, that maneuver, that reaction looks like a 20-year-old with beer muscles that's just going like berserk in the moment.
It hasn't been reported that one way or another, but Dawn is correct. He broke his neck, his back, and his collarbone.
Ah, jeez.
So,
he actually played Division II football programs in college, and so he's very athletic. He did speak out for the first time and just said, "I'm all right," or something like that, right? But I don't know. They're not releasing as far. I know that he has a GoFundMe for his medical bills. And he's raised tens of thousands.
Yeah, I can't imagine. One more time, Phil, just to for the people who are just coming over here. You can see that. Yeah, look at that. Oof.
Oh, my goodness.
Yikes.
And what was that? Dawn, you said it was 21 feet was the fall,
yes.
I think, if I remember your reporting. Yes.
You're correct, though, Nick, about the move that that you do when you have, you know, a couple beers in you. I'm not saying he did. I have no idea. But it is that move that we've all done.
Yeah.
I jumped over like a fire hydrant that way at one time, I think, in Wildwood.
Did you stick the landing?
Or Seattle City, but I think it was.
Was it that he fell forward? Like, it's hard for me to interpret because was it that he fell forward and he was trying to catch himself? Like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I
don't either.
But it's...
No, that looked like a deliberate, like, I'm not saying he was trying to leap over, but it looked like he was trying to leap up or maybe leap up on the railing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why he would do that.
To jump up and...
Yeah, like, woo!
He's excited about it.
Yeah.
And
this is why you watch sports on your couch with your own beer and on an 80-inch TV and you won't get hurt.
Ooh, imagine getting a life-changing injury for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Watching the Pirates is an injury enough.
All right, we should take a break. We still haven't gotten to Bernie Sanders, I promise you.
Oh, I love this.
I promise you, in 4 minutes, we will get to it. I promise you.
I'm just going to profess my love. After watching that, was that last night or two nights ago?
It was last night on Brett Baer's show.
I am officially in love with Brett Baer. Brett Baer is my guy now.
Oh boy, here we go.
Want to give him a bro hug?
He's a golfer as well. I'm going to golf with Brett Baer.
Yeah,
he's going to bring me down to his mansion.
Not intoxicated.
No.
The fan.
Really?
Not intoxicated.
Wow.
Gummies.
No.
I have no idea. That seems like a very odd thing to do sober.
Yeah.
Stocker, were you sober when you jumped the fire hydrant?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so.
No.
Yeah, usually guys don't do that sober.
I leapfrogged it.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm lucky I didn't come down on my twig and berries.
Exactly. All right, still ahead, Bert and Ernie. We'll get to that on the cut sheet. Bert and Ernie. Brett and Bernie.
Bert and Ernie, Brett and Bernie.
Same thing.
Coming up in 3 minutes.
Kaling Company, stay right there.
Anyway.
We got to talk about kitchen magic. You know, they believe the heart of your home, your kitchen, deserves American-made high quality that you can trust. And that's why my friends at Kitchen Magic manufacture all their products right here at home, right here in the USA. In fact, in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. So you will not face any shipping delays, of course, or tariff surprises. As a local family-owned company, Kitchen Magic is proud to offer reliable service and custom kitchen remodeling you can count on. And this May, this month only, enjoy a whopping 30% of your dream kitchen. 30%? What are you waiting for? KitchenMagic.com. KitchenMagic.com. Schedule your free design consultation today. KitchenMagic.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.